The word today is sacrifice. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Douglas Schrader. At some point, we are all called on to sacrifice for someone else. It's a display of love to help someone in need, and the greatest demonstration of that is to put your own life on the line to save someone else. Did you know the celebration of Christmas has a theme of sacrifice associated with it? God gives His Son to be our Savior. Here is Bible teacher Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, sacrifice.
We are approaching Christmas time, and every year as we get close to Christmas, at The Word Today, we like to highlight what the Bible teaches about Jesus, our Savior, who came to this world specifically in order to suffer and die for us so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God. That's the beautiful message of the gospel of salvation, and it's what we have been proclaiming through The Word Today for nearly 40 years. So on this eve of the 40th anniversary of Christmas, I'm going to go to a very unusual passage that really does talk about what happened at Christmas. However, it won't sound like that to you at first. It's from the book of Hebrews, which was written to the ancient Jewish people in Jesus' day. That's why it's entitled Hebrews. And it's in chapter 9, and there are two verses at the very end of the chapter that say this: "Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." You might wonder, what kind of a Christmas passage from the Bible is that? It's not from the Gospels. It doesn't talk about Jesus being laid in a manger. It doesn't say anything about shepherds who are visited by angels or wise men who travel from the east. What does this have to do with Christmas? There is an allusion in this chapter, in these verses, to the coming of Jesus. Notice toward the end it said that he will appear a second time. Well, what happened the first time? Well, that's where verse 27 said that Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. You see, Christmas has gotten very warm and fuzzy, very commercialized. It's invaded by elves and Santas, and it's gone a long way from what the Bible says Christmas is. Christmas was actually the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus, who came with a specific mission to redeem us from our sin. He arrived in the flesh as a human, the Son of God taking on human flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, in order to be our Savior. There is a season in the church year which is called Advent. It's about 4 weeks that precede Christmas. And during those 4 weeks, often Christians around the world will use some device like an Advent calendar or an Advent wreath. Some use branches from trees to fashion a circular wreath. And then it may have candles in it. And typically, there are 3 purple candles and 1 pink candle. The purple candles stand for repentance, and the pink candle stands for joy. Advent, the word means to come or to arrive. It's the season where we think about the arrival of Christ on this earth, his coming to this earth specifically in order to be our Savior. Advent is a time of year, these weeks preceding Christmas, where Christians repent of their sins in preparation to welcome Jesus, the Savior who's coming, and also at the same time express joy in that God the Father has given his Son Jesus in order to die for us, to save us from our sins. So it's a mixture of preparation and waiting. Jesus came in order to be our Messiah. Now, I want to think about the waiting period that the people had before he came. In the Old Testament, the Jewish people, who for hundreds of years awaited a Messiah, they awaited the Anointed One, the one chosen by God to be the Savior. And they were still waiting at the time of Jesus appearing. Can you imagine waiting for generations for something to come? Most of us think in terms of weeks or months of waiting, not lifetimes, literally through, let's say, our lives and our children's, going back through our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents. We don't typically think of waiting for something over that course of time. However, that's exactly what took place in the Old Testament. God started dropping hints about the coming of his Son all the way back to the Garden of Eden. We see little inklings, little hints of the coming of the Messiah, of the Son of God, all the way back to the creation account. And now today, we happen to live on the other side of the event. There were thousands of years that people waited for the coming of Messiah. When Jesus arrived, that was the moment. Christmas celebrates the arrival of this world's Savior, of your Savior. This is the person who would redeem us from our sins, who would teach us of God the Father's love for us, who would teach us that if we put our hope and trust in him, we will not only gain a resurrection from the dead and eternal life, but we will spend it in God's presence, in a heavenly home, where it'll be full of joy and no more sorrow and pain and tears or death. So Christmas is a fantastic time, and this is why it's celebrated by so many Christians around the world, is because it's the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Except in the passage in Hebrews, it brings in this talk about him being sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. You really cannot separate, if you want to be a good, sound, biblical Christian, you cannot separate the birth account of Jesus, Christmas, from the cross of Jesus. His sole purpose in coming was to save sinners. He had to end up going to that cross in order to bear our sins so that we could be forgiven. In many ways, Christmas is about sacrifice. If we think about the things involved with it, God was willing to sacrifice his one and only Son, to give his only begotten Son, Jesus, for the sake of sinners. Mary, the woman who would bear the Christ child, was willing to sacrifice her childlike youth and her freedom in order to be used by God to bear the Christ child. Meanwhile, there were all kinds of children that were sacrificed and slaughtered by Herod because in his wickedness and evil, out of worldly ambition and power-mongering, he killed all those children. Hebrews here is saying that Jesus Christ's purpose was to be sacrificed once for all people. Jesus, even when he was met in the temple as a little infant, and Mary and Joseph were at the temple, and Simeon, the old prophet, took Jesus in his arms, and speaking to Mary, he said, "A sword will pierce your own soul too." He was prophesying that Christ would die and it would be extremely painful to Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're told that Jesus, in fulfilling Isaiah 53, would be pierced for our sins. He would be wounded for our transgressions. So Christmas is not just about a manger and shepherds and angels singing that the Son of God is found in Bethlehem. By the way, the angels do tell us that he would come in order to take away the sin of many people, that his name would be Jesus, which means God saves. So we celebrate at Christmas time as Christians none of the secular junk, not the garbage that the world wants to give to us, but the pure, beautiful message of salvation in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what culture you're listening to us in. We have so many languages around the world and so many Christians in different cultures, but we can all celebrate the coming of this one man, Jesus, who is the world's Redeemer. He is our Savior collectively. And he came in order to bring a sacrifice, to offer himself for our sins, that we might be forgiven and live with God in eternity. What a fantastic gift God has given us. This is the meaning of Christmas, that Christ is our Savior, that we have the forgiveness of sins in his name. I hope that you will tell your friends and relatives. I hope that you will share this with them so they can properly praise the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, at Christmas time.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.